Hello, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com. And today it is my pleasure to introduce you to Kim Knight Perez. Kim has been practicing law in Georgia since 2001 and is the founding member of the Perez Firm, LLC. Before forming her own firm, she worked as a law clerk with the Georgia Secretary of State's office, as an associate at the law firm of Weisenecker, Modern & Fisher, PC in Atlanta, and as a founding member of Shaw & Perez, LLC. She has extensive experience representing home builders, contractors, subcontractors, individual homeowners, homeowners associations, and home inspectors in a variety of real estate-related disputes. In her career, Kim has given seminars and written articles on a variety of real estate matters for such groups as the NAACP and the National Association of Credit Management. She currently authors the Georgia Home Blog, which can be found at www.georgiahomelaw.com, and that's the Georgia Home Law Blog, and that is at georgiahomelaw.com. So with that, Kim, welcome to the call today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. So with that introduction, I'd love to just launch into our conversation around work-life balance and some of the questions that I have for you around that. Would that be all right?
Sure.
Great. So looking back on your personal history, on your personal life, as well as your legal education and legal career, I'm wondering if you would say that you found yourself to always be good at balancing work and life, or school and life for that matter, or if you feel like there was a critical time or a pivotal point that you came to where you decided to do something differently to create a balance that suited you better?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think as lawyers, we're all perhaps groomed, or it's in our biology, to be perfectionists and go-getters. And so I've always been a go-getter, and I always wanted to kind of do it all. If there was something I was interested in doing, then I was going to do it, pretty much no questions asked. But I didn't really feel a conflict in work-life balance or school-life balance until I had a child. And that was 6 years ago now. And then I think I felt this pull to become a parent that was finally something that competed with my pull to succeed at work or career. And so it became very clear to me at that time, that crucial time, that I needed to figure something else or figure this out, or I was going to go crazy.
Mm-hmm. So you said it was the birth of your child then that really made you want to reevaluate how you'd been doing things.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, and from that then, what would you say would have been your biggest challenge or struggle as you were trying to figure out how to make that balance work or that integration, how to bring those two parts of yourself together? What would you say was your biggest challenge or struggle?
It's hard to point out one, but the biggest trouble that I have had is finding out how to take care of myself, because I feel like when I'm trying to, you know, go-getter and perfectionism part of me always kicks in. But when I'm at work, I'm serving my clients, and I am all day long just being, you know, absorbed in their problems and figuring out how to get their issues resolved. And then as soon as I go home, I'm focused on my children's needs and my husband's needs and the household needs and making sure all that is taken care of. And there's so many details in every single day that by the time the day is over, I am literally just spent. I have no more energy left in me physically or emotionally. And after doing that for days on end and then weeks on end and then months on end, I just realized, I guess, and this is when I still struggle with, I just don't ever take care of myself. So I don't have a lot of time, it seems, to rest and rejuvenate so that I can be better and stronger, you know, the next day or the next week. And so that's been the hardest thing. And I've kind of learned the hard way. I spent, I guess, last year sick a lot because I was just always going at this really chaotic pace. And it kind of forced me to really look at what I was doing every single day and think, you know, you're giving so much to everybody else, but you're not taking the time to rest and, you know, rest yourself and give yourself a little something too. And so that's something that's hard. But it's hard too because I feel a little guilt associated with that. I feel like if I'm not working, I really need to be spending time with my children, you know, or if I'm not spending time with my children, I really need to be working and contributing to the family and the family income. And I feel like anything else is kind of selfish. So getting over all that and being able to take care of myself has probably been the single greatest challenge.
That's so insightful. Like you said, we just love to give and give and give, both to our families and to our work and our clients and everything else, and we often fall to the bottom of the heap.
Yes.
And it's the first thing to go, really, is, oh, well, I guess I don't really need to, you know, even go get that massage or that pedicure or exercise or read or whatever it is. It's always the first thing to go when the going gets tough. So that's really, it's a great reminder in your challenge that we need to remember to put ourselves a little higher, because that's when we can really serve our family the best and serve our clients the best, is when we're fulfilled, we're well-rested, we're sharp, and we've taken care of ourselves.
That's right. Because like I said, I learned the hard way. I had a bout of pneumonia once every 6 months over the last couple of years. And that just knocked me out. I was in bed for a week and almost hospitalized. And I realized, you know, I'm not really not good to anybody like this.
That's right.
You know,
right.
And then it took time afterwards to recover, so I wasn't really 100% for a couple weeks afterwards. And I realized, you know, if I could just do a little bit more every day or, you know, every week, then I would probably be a whole lot healthier, a lot more productive and happier too.
It takes sometimes, I think, those big physical reminders that our body says, all right, if you're not going to listen to me when
exactly.
I'm whispering at you, I'm going to throw you into bed for a week or so and make
absolutely.
You pay attention.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kim, in sort of the flip side of the question, what would you say has been your biggest lesson then, as opposed to your biggest challenge? Along the way, was there a lesson or a teaching or words of wisdom that pop out at you as sort of being a critical lesson you've learned along your journey?
Probably the most important lesson, the biggest lesson that I've learned, and one that I'm still learning every day, is prioritizing. I have a really hard time, like I said earlier, if there's something I like and want to do it, I just go do it. I figure it out and I go do it. Well, nowadays there's so many things that compete for my attention, but my time is so limited. So separating the good activities from the best activities is really the hardest thing for me. Well, it's the biggest challenge for me. So prioritizing, figuring out exactly what it is I need to get done this day and just having to say no to other things, which, you know, might still be really good things to do. But unfortunately, for that specific time, they aren't the best things to do. There are a lot of bar associations that I'm a member of, but that I'm not as involved as I would like to be because they may conflict with, you know, my daughter's dance recital, or I may just really need to be in the office one afternoon and crank some workouts so that I can, you know, be home the next day and take my son to a doctor's appointment or something. So while those bar activities are still good things to do, they may not be the best things for me to be doing with my time in any given situation. So prioritizing is definitely the biggest lesson I've learned.
And as you said, sometimes it's not choosing necessarily between something that's good and something that's bad, but I wrote it down. I love how you said separating the good activities from the best activities and really what are those highest and best uses of your time.
Right, and figuring out, going through the thought process of what's actually the best for that time is also kind of hard because when there's something that's when there are several options for you that are very attractive, you know, you might be pulled to one of those good things, maybe for other reasons, because you like doing this. You mm-hmm. like doing, you enjoy that part. But it really, so I guess that you're pulled to it, even though it might not be the best thing. So going through that thought process of figuring out what is the best thing to do has been a difficult lesson to learn, but a really important one, because I've noticed that it just makes the biggest difference in my time and my emotional state. It, you know, a lot of it is also about drawing boundaries. So being able to do that and say no with confidence and let it go afterwards has been a really big lesson for me to learn.
Exactly, and not feeling, you know, as you mentioned, guilt earlier, but not feeling guilt about having to say no and figure out those priorities and putting boundaries around your time, because it's such a non-renewable resource, the very precious time we have in the day.
Right. The other thing I tell myself, too, which gives me a little bit of comfort, is, you know, I can do those things in X number of years when my children are grown and I have a lot more time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right now it's somebody else's turn to be doing that, but I'll be able to do it, too, you know, later down the road. And so that gives me a little bit of comfort.
It does.
Not that I'm not completely missing out.
Right, exactly. And as you said, even it's both about things that you want to do, like you said, feeling like you might be missing out, but also things that you want to do from a philanthropic, say, motivation, or you want to give of yourself. And I mean, I'm always guilty of this. I want to give more time, or I want to give more money. And my husband just says, you know, it's not your time right now. It's, you know,
exactly. You
don't necessarily have all sorts of resources that you want to give that you will have in the future, and that will be the right time. But there is that desire to give it right now, and like you said, to be gentle with ourselves, realizing that our time will come. Our time will have more resources to give away.
Yep.
And also just to draw upon your point about prioritizing, I love that. And as I mentioned, I really love the idea of thinking about separating the good from the best. And I think it can also, and tell me what you think of this, be true even in a given moment. You know, you're looking at two different projects on your desk and deciding which one needs your attention at that moment. And sometimes they're both worthy projects as well, but which one is really screaming for you and is the best use of your time. I think that rule that you identified can be used on a day-to-day basis, an hour-to-hour, or even a moment-to-moment basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, exactly. So prioritizing, it is. It's a huge thing, but a great lesson. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
What would you say then, given that as sort of an overarching lesson or more of an umbrella, are there tools or strategies or tips that you might suggest, maybe two or three of them, that could be more practical or tactical or even just some words of wisdom that you've heard that have been meaningful to you? But what would be two or three strategies or tips that you would like to share with folks who are listening or reading this?
I think that the probably the first thing I would say is that if you want to achieve some sort of work-life balance in your life, you really need to have ownership over your own time. So you need to be able to figure out some sort of, I think, flexible arrangement. And for me, what that meant was really putting a lot of emphasis on marketing and obtaining my own client base early on in my career. I ended up being my own boss kind of an unconventional path, but I was actually laid off from my firm when I was 6 months pregnant because the firm was dissolving. Yes.
Oh my.
And it's kind of
wow.
Crazy. But what was interesting is that I already had my own book of business because I learned those lessons early, and I had toyed with the idea of going out on my own already, and had even spoken with some friends about it, about going in together in a partnership, and it ended up that day when I was 6 months pregnant and found out that the firm was closing its doors, I was pushed out there, but it worked out beautifully for me because I had that option of being able to actually still be able to work. And then so really the marketing, the getting clients early for me functioned as a way for me to find ownership over my time, over the career choices I wanted to make, and ultimately over the type of parent I want to be. So I honestly don't think that I would be able to have any sort of a work-life balance if I didn't have some sort of ownership over my own career path. And the number one way for me to do that was to get my own clients and figure out how to do that early. Probably the second strategy I would say would be that you can't be afraid to take calculated risks. A lot of that has to do with making those choices between what's good and what's the best thing to do. Sometimes what's the best might involve something that you're a little bit uncomfortable with doing. And I think that a big part of that is just being willing to just say, you know, I'm just going to take a leap of faith. I'm just going to go out there and try it. So don't be afraid to take calculated risk. And then probably the last thing, which I already alluded to, was making sure that you take adequate time for yourself and you really take care of yourself and keep yourself healthy so that you can give to others. Because in this profession, and in being a parent and a spouse as well, you're constantly giving of yourself to others. And like we said before, I think if you don't really take care of yourself, you just can't do that so well.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I just to go back and think about those tips that you shared, especially the first one, just as you were talking about it, it makes so much sense to have those clients of your own for a variety of reasons, but especially in this market, so many people are experiencing what you experienced with firms shutting their doors unexpectedly at, for you, very inopportune times. And But it's completely unexpected. And by taking the time to really cultivate those clients of your own who will go with you, it can be completely a saving grace.
Absolutely. It definitely is, because I literally went from leaving that firm, and I didn't mention that I was actually on bed rest during the last 3 months.
Wow.
So I did all this from my home. But I literally went without missing a paycheck, because I made sure that my clients were taken care of and that they were happy and that the work was still getting done somehow, some way. And that did involve some delegating to a partner. She ended up being my law partner for a while. But so that, delegating was part of that too. But having my own clients, without a doubt, has been the number one thing that has allowed me to have the flexibility and the type of career and the type of personal life that I want.
Exactly, exactly.
But, at the same time, the flip side is that to keep the clients happy and to keep them coming back and to keep work coming in the door, you do have to give a lot of yourself, and you do have to make those really hard choices between, attending a client's important meeting versus, going to a child's activity or something. There's always a very important decision that needs to be made, it seems, if you want to keep those clients coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't get to do the things with my family that I'd like to do because I am trying to service the clients. But in the end, it all evens out, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's been an interesting way of thinking about everything evening out, that it's not about even just the day-to-day. No day will even be a perfect day of balance if you look at it, but sort of stretched out over the long run, when you look back, that the proportions were right, that your priorities were reflected, and and there's sort of the metaphor of weather versus climate when they talk about climate change, and I think it goes to this. It's just about, if it's all evening out in the big scheme of things, then you're doing okay, and no one day will be perfect. Yeah,
it absolutely does, and especially when you're in litigation like I am. I had a trial that went for a week earlier in the year, And I spent an awful lot of time at work the week beforehand, and then, of course, during that week, I think I worked probably 16 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't see my children almost for 2 weeks straight, but which was, you know, but which wasn't the ideal situation. But afterwards, when my schedule lightened up a little, I spent a lot more time. You know, mm-hmm. We went to the park. We went out, you know, for lunches. I just put in a whole lot more face time. So it did even out, and I think that, you know, everybody's happy. The client was happy. We got a good result. My children were happy because I ended up doing a lot of special things with them that I wouldn't have done otherwise.
Exactly. And you're modeling for them that, and I think, did you mention you have a daughter as well?
Yes.
You have a daughter and a son.
Daughter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A four-year-old son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, and I think, I mean, for both children, certainly, but, yeah, I think for our daughters, just modeling that they, you can do both. You can, you know, mom needs to go off and do this. This is her work. This is her job, and it's important. But, you know, at the end of the day, that they know they're your priority, and they get you back, and they get to do special things. But they see that, and they see that you have something special in your career that is important to you, and they learn from that. So I just think they're learning in a way that, while in some ways the world revolves around them, it doesn't at every moment of every day, and that you have needs and a professional career as well, as they will likely at some point in their lives too.
That's true. And I like the idea, or the thought that the profession that we're in, that we get the opportunity to help other people in a time of need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really want my children to learn. It's kind of funny because my daughter had career day at her school a couple of weeks ago, and it's real easy to describe what, you know, so-and-so's dad does. He's a fireman, and so-and-so's
right.
dad is a doctor, and so-and-so's mom. And those are easy things for children to understand. But when I try to explain what a lawyer does, my
right.
daughter's kind of looked at me. So the easiest way to explain it is, well, you know what? When people have problems, I try to help them fix their problems.
Yeah.
And that also teaches her that we have a greater responsibility to others too. And I like the idea that that being a lawyer can teach that I guess the fact that I'm a lawyer helps teach that lesson to my children.
Mhm. Well, it's a beautiful way to put it, and it's a great reminder. Because, of course, we lawyers don't always have the best reputation, stereotypically. And
that, right.
I mean,
right.
We all know. But lots of lawyer jokes. At the same right. time, when we can see our profession as one of service and of helping other people, it's what a lot of us, especially women, but certainly men too, we went to law school with a service
right.
motivation, that we wanted to be that problem solver and that shoulder, that strength, that person who helped others through some of the trickiest and the most challenging parts of their lives. And
yeah.
I love what you say about modeling for our children that no matter what the profession, and certainly lawyers, despite what they may hear when they go to a friend's house.
Exactly. Right.
But it is. That's what gets you out of bed and gets you to work every day is you're finding, you're helping your client have a good result, find a good solution to a problem that they're facing. And that's the important thing, no matter what the profession, but that law gives us the chance to demonstrate that too.
Absolutely. Yep.
Excellent. Well,
I feel privileged to be a part of the profession for that reason. Yeah, that's all.
It's true. It's a good reminder because I think sometimes we get so caught up in what society says about lawyers that we forget that it really is. It's that helping profession. And it's a profession to be proud of, and there
yeah.
are many things to be proud of in the profession.
I agree.
Excellent.
I agree.
Kim, before we wrap up, I want to give you the chance to just share a little bit, if you would like, about your law firm, promote any of the work that you're doing, or let people know what you're up to, or just give them a way to connect with you if they wanted to do that in the future.
Yeah, sure. I do a lot of real estate litigation, mostly on the construction end and with the residential market. So most of the disputes I handle are between home builders and homeowners or contractors and subcontractors, a range of just pure business disputes and then also construction defect type cases. My law firm has a website that gives a little bit more information about me. It's a pretty extensive bio, and then about the firm itself and the practice areas that we do. And that's at www.tpflaw.com. It stands for the Perez firm, tpflaw.com. And then the blog that I author, I really enjoy writing, and it's a fun way for me to connect with people as well, is georgiahomelaw.com. And there's just a lot of articles about not necessarily legal type stuff, but lessons that homeowners and home builders and people in the home industry can learn about what's going on out there in the news and also in the recent legal decisions.
Great,
those
thank you.
Those are the two best ways to touch base with me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing those resources. Either
sure.
tpflaw.com, the Perez firm, that's great, law.com, or georgiahomelaw.com, and some great information at both, I'm sure. Well, Kim, thank you again for your time and for your words of wisdom, for sharing your journey and what you've learned with the women attorneys who are listening and reading. I know that folks will take away lots of gems from our conversation. I appreciate your time and the energy that you've put into being here today.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I'm glad to do it, Kendra.
You're very welcome. All right, well, that is the end of this conversation, and so I thank everyone for being here and for listening and for investing time in yourself to grow personally and professionally. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.